Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Should have told you by now, but I can't find the words.
We're back at 12 after, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Beverly Williams is our guest and our good friend. She's not only an original member of the Brain Trust, she's an original member of this show. The only person more original than Beverly is me, and she's been with me that long, and we couldn't do without her. She's the best. She's our home-based business expert, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. Beverly, welcome back.
Well, thank you, and good morning.
It's good to have you back.
Always good to be here.
We got a lot of good stuff to talk about today. This is a big deal, folks. We're going to talk about setting up the home-based business, right, Bev?
Right.
How to do that, how to set up the workspace, what do you need, where does it need to be, and all that sort of thing, right?
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's so many advantages to living and working under the same roof, but there's some disadvantages, too, that you need to take into consideration. And where you set up your office will have a tremendous impact on your ability to concentrate on work. And it could have an impact on your personal life and anybody else in the household. So,
okay, day one, moment one, actually. Moment
right.
One.
Yep.
The birth, the actual moment of birth of the home-based business. It's on the kitchen table.
Well, sometimes. A lot of times that is where it starts. Because
most
that's
of the
where
time.
You do your brainstorming and, you know, hopefully talk with your family or other people in the household about having this home-based business and what kind of an impact it's going to have, and try and brainstorm as much as possible what that might be like. But some of the things that people don't take into consideration is what kind of impact having that business on the dining room table or the kitchen table or, you know, in the spare bedroom, whatever, may have on the other people in the house. And you may not be able to think of all those things in the beginning, but if you at least open the dialogue and start thinking about the advantages and disadvantages to using a particular space, then you're a little bit ahead of the game and you can make adjustments as time goes on.
Well, I think that's the key. The word space is the key word at the beginning, isn't it? Because we all occupy our space as we go through our lives. You know, if you don't believe that, just move.
Right.
I mean, you know, you see how you've accumulated things, you've occupied things, and you've sort of gotten comfortable with it like an old shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got a whole new consideration in your life that is totally different from your previous thinking about the space that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not have to turn your world upside down, but you got to think about what would happen if you had to do that.
Right.
Don't you? You have to imagine. Okay, you know, we got all these bedrooms here, and we've got all these things in the bedrooms. This is a workout room, you know, instead of a bedroom, and this one's a library, and that's a computer room, whatever. You've got to completely rethink. Unless you've got a lot of extra space, which
right.
most people don't,
right.
you've got to completely rethink where everything is.
Right. Some of the things that you need to consider is client traffic. If you're going to have any clients coming to your office, meeting space.
Right.
It may not be with clients, but you may have other people who are going to be working with you. You may team up with some other businesses, and people may come to your house to meet with you about projects.
Right.
Storage. You know, where are you going to put all these files and perhaps extra paper? And, you know, if you've got a craft-type business, you've got lots of supplies. Where are they going to be kept? Equipment. You know, what kind of equipment are you going to need? Maybe it'll only be a computer, but maybe you want a second computer instead of using the family computer.
Right.
Do you have another place to put that in? Lighting. Houses have very different lighting than offices have.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that if you don't have proper lighting in your home office, it can cause eye strain and a lot of other problems. Electrical service. I was amazed at how many plugs I needed after I got all my equipment for my desktop publishing. I was a mass of wires all over the room. Family traffic patterns. You know, if you're using the dining room table or a library off of the family room, you know, what kind of traffic pattern do you have? Kids running through there, you know, they're coming in and out for other things. Noise levels. You know, can you hear the family television or stereo from your office? Those are all things that you need to start thinking about when you think about where you're going to have your office space.
Well, and those are things that if you've never done it before, you know, Beverly, that's just such good advice, because if you've never done it before, you know, somebody out there, as you were talking a minute ago, said, clients?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have clients. My God, that's right. I will. I may have somebody come in here or you know, whatever. And they were originally thinking about having the bedroom, the office, you know, down the hall at the other end of the house by the bedrooms. You know,
right.
Now they're thinking, you know, that wouldn't make me feel very comfortable. And
right.
So, you know, maybe there's something else has to happen. Have you noticed?
It's not only your comfort level, but it's the comfort level
exactly.
of the people, whether it's a client or a business associate.
Right.
You know, they may not be comfortable coming into your personal space either.
Right. And of course, the other consideration there is maybe you don't bring people into your house.
Right. And there are certainly alternatives.
Exactly. That's another important thing that we need to talk about. What I was going to say, just interject here, it's been interesting to me over the last 10 years or so to see how many houses are built with an office in mind. I mean, the builder actually creates a space for a home office.
Right. I take absolutely no credit for it, but I have to tell you that 15 years ago, I started talking to real estate agents and builders and saying, you know, why not build a room that is multiple use? Like a mother-in-law suite could also be advertised as a home office suite. You know, either or.
Why don't they ever call them father-in-law suites, Beverly?
Well, because men die sooner than mothers do.
And we won't get into why that happens either.
No, we won't.
But, well, folks, now you know. You heard it here. Beverly Williams is the reason why builders are building these extra rooms and calling them home offices. But the thing is, it's become, I only somewhat have my tongue in my cheek when I say that, folks. But Beverly Williams has been tilling this field for a long time now. And she's been talking to people about these things, and so as a result of her efforts and a few other people, it's not weird to have. Not only is it not weird to have a home based business anymore, like it was when I had one, you know, a long, long time ago, as early as in the 70s, actually, at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not weird anymore. It's actually become part of the mainstream culture, because even people who don't have home based businesses still like the idea of having a home office,
right?
Don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Put their family computer.
Yeah.
Kids do their homework in there, and so a lot of people already have that.
Mm-hmm. They
do. They already have that space.
They do.
Stand by, Bev. When we come back, we're gonna get into some more details of how to set up your office, your home office, with our good friend Beverly Williams, president and the founder of the American Association of Home Based Businesses. It's 20 after. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. You get a chance to check it out, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And those of you who have been there before, if you haven't been there recently, you'll see something new when you get there. We've got a whole new redesign, and it's just tremendous. The new capability, the new information that we've got there for you, for your small business, and more to come. We've still got a lot more. There's still some stuff that we've got to come for you, that some new capability that we really haven't even been able to finish putting up yet, and we're still working on that. So just bear with us, but there's already a lot of new stuff there. So check it out when you get a chance, jbsba.com. Beverly Williams is our guest, and she is the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. Bev, we're talking about setting up the home office.
Right.
And what's the next step?
Well, the first thing we talked about was client traffic. And we can also add, instead of just client, you may think you're not going to have any clients, but it's worth looking through some of this stuff anyway, or business associates who come to your office for other reasons.
Employees, part-timers, that kind of
right.
thing.
Right. One of the first things to consider is whether or not your zoning allows you to have clients. That's going to have a bearing on whether or not you actually do have clients coming to your home office.
Right.
If the answer is yes, then begin looking at an area or room closest to the door your clients or business associates are going to enter. Instead of trailing them all through the house, if another door than what you normally use is closer, then have them come there. Make your office closest to that door.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to consider, is this a room others in the house normally use for their daily activity? Is there someplace else for them to go if the answer is yes to that? Is the room conducive to meeting with clients? I mean, a spare bedroom may be closest to the door, but if you still have to take people through the rest of the house, it may not be the best place to have meetings with clients. So
right.
We can talk later about where else you might meet with your clients in your house and still have your office there. But how will the clients perceive that space? As an office or as somebody's living space?
A lot of times in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, they're going to feel a little weird about walking through the middle of your house.
Exactly. They may be very uncomfortable.
And so that's the beauty, though, Bev, of having other places where you can meet people that are available for you on an incremental basis.
Mm-hmm.
But also technology with the laptops these days and with the wireless mm-hmm. fidelity capability, you can take almost everything that you've got at your office. You can take it on the road with you.
Yes, you certainly can. And we can talk in the next time we get together about what some of your other alternative meeting places are.
I only want to bring that up this time, Bev, because I want people to say, you know, instead of wringing their hands
right.
about not having a good place to bring somebody and really stewing over that and maybe even slowing down their progress, just realize that it's going to cost a little money,
mm-hmm.
but it's a whole lot cheaper than building another room.
It certainly is, although building another room is what some people have done.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, yes, there certainly are other places where you can meet. We can talk about those right now.
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't mind waiting. I just wanted people to know, if you're looking around and you're saying, you know, I don't have any space to bring
yeah.
people. You know, the only room I've got is the one at the end of the hall and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you might not even have to have. I mean, a lot of people mm-hmm. have home-based businesses, and they'll never see their customers in their life.
Right.
Let alone bring them to their house because their customers are across the country or around the world.
That's true.
Yeah.
For those who do have clients or other business associates coming, I developed a number of years ago what I call the see, hear, and smell principle for home-based businesses. I know, everybody chuckles. But, you know, the reality is the sights, smells, and sounds in your house become so familiar, you probably don't notice them.
Right.
Somebody else is going to pick up on them immediately, and it could really turn them off. So I suggest people have, you know, like their mother-in-law or a good friend that can be very honest with you, act as if they're the client. Come to the door you want people to come to for your business. Walk in that door and tell you what they see, hear, and smell. One of the first things that when I did this with someone at my other home office was she said, well, I wasn't sure which door to come to. There was no sign or anything that said office. So if you're allowed by zoning, you could put a small sign somewhere that, you know, either points an arrow towards
right.
the entrance or...
Small, subtle sign.
Right, just something that says, you know, the name of your business or office or something like
mm-hmm.
that. Once they come in, if you know, it's really difficult when you're living there and you're cooking dinner one night to think about the fact that the next morning you've got people coming and you may have cooked a whole bunch of onions or fish or something.
Cabbage.
You know, you get used to that smell, but
right.
it'll hit somebody else smack in the face when they open the door.
And, you know, Babe, you mentioned mother-in-law a minute ago. If you have a mother-in-law, she's already told you what sounds, smells, and looks funny, hasn't she?
Actually, my mother-in-law was pretty good about that. It's my mother who is much more critical than others. I love my mother, but she's very blunt about things like that, for my own good, of course.
It's always good to have you here on the show, Bev. Thank you for the good advice. We need to talk some more about this. We didn't get through.
Right.
There's a lot more good things we can talk about. The technology, we'll get into that a little bit mm-hmm. more. A little bit later in our next visit, and I'm looking forward to that one already.
Well, thank you.
Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, we could not, would not do without her. She's the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, and she will be back. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back after these messages with Sam Norwood. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.